guys have been sitting for a little bit. Can you stand up, please? And maybe take a deep, deep breath in. Again, if you want to raise your hands, you can take, feel your lungs with air. Slow exhale. Now do it again. And as you do it, I read this scripture. And in the beginning, take another deep breath in. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Take another deep breath in. And darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You can have a seat. As I was preparing for the service or the message this week, I always seek to ask the Lord to give me vision and direction on the specific topic that we're speaking on, and this one is worship in spirit and truth. And so I'm praying. I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold, and Wednesday morning, I have this dream, this vivid dream, and I haven't had a vivid dream in a long time, and there was a voice saying to me, read Ephesians 3:1 over and over. Kenny, get up and read Ephesians 3:1. And this has never happened to me before. I was like, woke up and I was like, oh, I gotta get my Bible and read Ephesians 3:1. And I get my Bible and I pop it open, and this is what it says. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, .. That was it. I was like, oh, okay, and I read it again. There's some reason why the Holy Spirit was prompting me to read that, and I kept reading it, going, okay, is there something profound in that little piece there? And I kept reading it, and I was like, Kenny, don't overthink this. I felt like then he expanded, read chapter 3. Just read chapter 3. And then I sat and read Ephesians chapter 3, and I read it a few times, and I noted that the chapter is broken down into two parts. And the first part is Paul is speaking about God's mysterious plan being revealed. This plan is clearly stated in verse 6. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. And here we see the grafting and the coming together of the Jews and the Gentiles in this place, in this scripture, who believe in the work of Jesus on the cross, and they share in a rich inheritance together. And they are God's children. That's their inheritance, that they're God's children. And in this place, they enjoy the promise of blessings. And then the second part of chapter 3 is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. And I believe this is why the Lord got me to read chapter 3, is Paul's prayer. Paul prays that God would empower them with inner strength, with his glorious unlimited power through his Spirit. He says that he prays that Christ would make a home in their hearts if they would trust him, and that their roots would grow down deep into God's love, and this would keep them strong. And Paul prays that they would have the power to understand, as all God's children should, how wide and long and deep and high is God's love. And so just as this was the prayer of Paul to the church of Ephesus, I want to pray that for us this morning as we dive into the scripture. And so let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would empower us with inner strength, with your glorious, unlimited power through the work of the Holy Spirit. God, would you enliven the Spirit in us with your Holy Spirit? I thank you, Jesus, that as we trust in you, you promise to make a home in us, and that our roots would grow deep into God's love, and this would keep us strong. This would be keeping us able to withstand the storms, the trials, the sufferings that will come to us as your children. Lord, give us the power to understand how wide and long and high and deep your love is for us, God. Give us a greater revelation of Jesus' death and resurrection and the power of his great sacrifice, which has now given us mercy and grace, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, make us aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, moving and taking greater ownership of our lives, giving us wisdom and revelation of the Father. And I thank you, Lord, in advance to what you want to do in us today, because it's about you moving in us that matters. Amen. So worship in spirit and in truth. Today I want to focus on the scripture, worship in the with the Lord in spirit and truth. And I don't want to necessarily talk about the semantics of worship, of how we worship and what we do in worship, the styles of worship. I don't want to talk about that this morning. I want to primarily focus on what it means to be a true worshiper in spirit and in truth. And this scripture comes in a story in the New Testament. It comes in a story of the Samaritan woman at the well. So we'll read out of John 4 this morning, verses 6 to 24. It'll be up on the screen. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You were right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. I am he. Verse 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Here in this interaction with the Samaritan woman, we see Jesus. He's tired, he's weary, he's hungry. His disciples have gone to get food. And he sits on the well of his ancestor Jacob, a well that Jacob had built for his son Joseph. And as he does, a woman approaches to draw water. And she is an unlikely person in this whole situation. She's an unlikely person for Jesus to talk to. Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews, and it was probably unheard of for Jewish men to even address a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman. And it was probably even more uncommon for a Samaritan woman to address a Jewish man. But here in this interaction, Jesus is crossing boundaries. He is crossing boundaries to show that God's desire is for all people, not just the Jews, to worship in spirit and truth, but also the Gentiles. Here in this place, God was searching for an interaction with the Spirit of the Samaritan woman. God was searching for an interaction of the Spirit of the Samaritan woman. God's Spirit wanted to connect with this woman's spirit, and in this conversation, God's truth was revealed through his son Jesus, the Word made flesh, the light of the world. We all have a spirit. We've talked about worship the Lord in our mind, our soul, our strength. Remember, Brad talked about that, but we also have a spirit. And the spirit, the scriptures reveal that God desires to meet us in our spirit and interact with our spirit with his truth, the truth of his word. And this is an act of believing. When God interacts with the spirit of man, believing happens, or it doesn't happen. And so to worship in spirit and truth is to believe in Jesus, the Word made flesh, the light of the world, who reveals the Father to us through the Holy Spirit. And this worship is an interactive worship. It's not a one-way worship. This is a worship that happens between us and the Lord, where God speaks to our spirit and we respond by his truth. There's a few examples, but I fell on the example of Luke 1:45-47. And this is the interaction between Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth has an encounter and she becomes pregnant. Mary has an encounter and she becomes pregnant, and Mary rushes to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says to Mary, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." That's what Elizabeth said. "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And Mary responds in a song, the Magnificat, the song of praise. And she begins, "O my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That was her first response in her song of praise. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She had an encounter which caused her spirit to rejoice in God, her Savior. And in that place, she worshiped the Lord. Here in this place, God spoke to Mary through an angel, and she believed, and her response was one of praise, a praise that came from a spirit touched by the living God's Spirit, personal and meaningful to her. And how similar to the Samaritan woman who believed in the living water that Jesus offered her, so much so that she thought she would never physically thirst again. She said, "Oh, I won't have to come back to this well and draw water if I'm not going to thirst again." It's interesting, Jesus interacts with this woman as we see that encounter, and he goes right to her heart in that interaction. And what does Jesus do? He reveals the secret things in her. He reveals the way she thinks about herself. He went right to her spirit and interacted with her spirit. He didn't deal with the weather or why they shouldn't talk, but he went right to that place that had deep meaning in her heart. And as Jesus tells her about the five husbands and the one that she has now that isn't her husband, he is speaking to her at a deeply personal way. He is getting past all the layers. He is speaking to her spirit and now reveals the truth, the very truth of who God is. And he reveals the truth of who she is to God, a true worshiper of him. But as we read the story, I found it interesting that in this exchange, what does she do? As the Lord went right to her heart, what did the Samaritan woman do? She changed the subject. She didn't go on and say, that's right. She totally changed the subject on Jesus. She was uncomfortable probably with that level of revelation. Was she a scorned woman? Did everyone talk about her in town? Did people ignore her and walk around away from her? How did this man know these things? Was he a prophet? She took the gaze off her spirit and talked about where the best place to worship is. Where's the best place to worship? We worship here, and you Jews think we should worship over here. Seems to me she diverted a personal interaction. Was this what mattered in that interaction? How often do we change the subject when God's Spirit is touching ours? Because he interacts with us. How often do we ignore what he's touching and totally change the subject on the Lord? When he is touching and revealing the secret things in our heart, where in our possible uncomfortability we switch topics that don't really matter. When in this very interaction, God is asking, worship in spirit and in truth. Interact with me on a personal level. Let me touch your life and bring my truth and revelation to you. Believe in me and I will quench your thirst. Believe in me and I will quench your thirst. Jesus reveals that it isn't in the place, and Jesus answers her. He's kind in that he doesn't trample over her as she changed the subject, but he answers her, and he answers in a profound way. He reveals that it isn't in the place of worship that matters. He explains that the Father is searching for those who will worship in spirit and truth, and he explains that salvation comes through him, the Messiah. He explains that the Father is searching for those at a heart level. The Father isn't searching for the best place of worship. or the right way to worship and how to do it right, or a relevant way of worship. He's not asking, he's not searching for that. Jesus asks us to believe that he will quench our thirst and be satisfied. He wants us to interact with the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Word made flesh, and to interact with the Holy Spirit in that place, which reveals who God is. That's worship in truth and in spirit. And he will feed our hunger with him, the bread of life. This speaks to our spirit and the things we feel and think, our attitudes and our beliefs, our hurts, our pains. This comes into the place of sin, the things that the Lord wants to reveal. The Word comes into that place and interacts with every part of our spirit, all our emotions, our actions, our thoughts, our beliefs. Comes into that place. And then we're called to respond in that place and worship in that place of spirit and truth. John 6:32-35, we read in the chapters later, I find it interesting that, again, they talks about the bread and the water. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." How similar to the Samaritan woman. "Give me that water so I don't have to come back to the well every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And there again, the word believe. "Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Do we worship in spirit and truth? For to do so is to believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Romans 8:15-16 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit and tells us what? What does it tell us? It tells us the truth. It tells us the truth. It tells us that we are children of God, heirs, sharing in God's glory and his suffering. It tells us the truth. Here we see Jesus explaining to the woman who he is, that he is the living water, that she would not get thirsty again, and she believes. God's Spirit bears witness to her spirit, saying she is a child of God. She asked Jesus to give her the water so she would never be thirsty again. And out of that interaction, this woman leaves her water jar. And I was like, why did this say that she left her water jar? Maybe that's symbolic of her leaving her old ways. There was something significant about her water jar. And she's left it at the well. Her old life. And what does she do? She runs proclaiming to the village that this man spoke and told her everything that she had ever did? And could he be the Messiah? This unlikely woman sharing her testimony. Think about it. She's like an evangelist at that point. She's going to the village and she's proclaiming, hey, I think I met the Messiah. He told me everything about me. She begins to worship in spirit and truth because she met truth and truth hit her spirit. So when she ran to the village, she was worshiping in spirit and in truth, proclaiming the Messiah. And what did the people do? The people saw her. Did they run into their houses? Did they try to avoid her? Did they go, wow, we can't believe that woman. Phew. She said, 5 husbands. She's not even living with her husband. No, these people came streaming from the village. They came streaming from the village to see Jesus. And the scripture says many believed. Many believed. Not a few. Many believed. The testimony of this woman, this unlikely woman, who had met the living God. And the living God met her spirit and spoke truth to her. And she proclaimed that because she was worshiping in spirit and in truth. Verse 42 says, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. They heard him themselves. I just think that was amazing. I'm reading that story. I was like, that's amazing. Really amazing. That God searched for someone to speak to his spirit so they could worship in spirit and truth. This touch from Jesus who revealed the Father, and many believed. Many believed. And it came from an unlikely source, the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman. A Samaritan woman with no husband but many lovers. Pretty unlikely. So do you feel unworthy to worship in spirit and truth this morning? Because God's Spirit wants to speak to your spirit this morning. He wants to interact with you this morning. And the Father, it says, is searching to interact with your spirit. The Father is saying that, I'm searching for those that I want to interact with. And he wants to tell you, like the Samaritan woman, that you are worthy despite what you have done or what you haven't done. How is God's Spirit speaking to you, to your spirit this morning? Has he been speaking? Are you aware that he's speaking to your spirit this morning in the interaction in corporate worship, in the lighting of the candle? I was sitting there and little Jake, I don't know if you saw that, people maybe didn't see it, but I think he came over there. I don't know if he sat near Tim, and then he came and sat over here. Brave little kid, brave. I was like sitting there going, wow, he's so brave. And then Esther came, Grandma came up and was going to take little Jake, and I said, no, don't take him. This is prophetic. This is prophetic that he's sitting here, because it shows a child comfortable in the Father's presence, comfortable to go to his dad, comfortable just to sit on here and look at all of you. Ooh, kind of, as a little kid, I think I freak out. He was comfortable in the Father's presence. And it touched my spirit. God touched my spirit and said, that's how I want you to be, comfortable in me. And I was weeping over there. I was like, oh man, I'm a mess. But that's what happens when the God touches our heart and our spirit in us. And he wants to do that every day. Every day he wants to interact with us. And out of that place, we worship him in spirit and truth. So how is he speaking to your spirit this morning or this past week? What is he touching or revealing in your life? What is he saying about himself to you? What is he calling you into? What is he doing? What is he propelling you? And how in this place do you respond to his presence? How do you respond to his truth that is touching your spirit? This week, I've been a grumbler, an inner complainer. That's my confession. I'm the worst of the worst this week. Little joy, little hope. I confess that as sin, my sin of grumbling, complaining, my unbelief. It's unbelief. I got consumed with needing to meet everyone's need, the demands at home, the pressure at home to be everything, be Paula's strength, be Paula's strength, and or Phoebe's strength, everybody's strength. And I got consumed in that place, and I began wishing that life would be different. I began wishing that Paula's feet would have healing, that she could walk without pain. And in that place of weakness, because I can't do anything. You know, I want to do everything. I want to fix it all. I began complaining and grumbling. I wanted Paula free from suffering. And then sickness hit me, and I was like, no, I cannot get sick this week. I've been fighting it for a few weeks, and it just hit me this week. And yeah, I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done. I don't know if you have any of those weeks. And then the snow came, and I thought of all the things that I couldn't get done now, period. It's over. And then God used Paula's worship to speak his truth to my spirit. I want to share an experience that we had Wednesday morning as I woke up. Wednesday, I was driving Paula and Phoebe to school, and it's about a 20-minute drive, and I was internally grumbling. I had already read Ephesians 3, but I was internally grumbling, and I was feeling under the weather, and Paula began to worship in the car. This is her morning time with the Lord, and she wasn't singing music. I'll say that again. She wasn't singing music, this worship. She was proclaiming God's truth, which was revealed through the Word of God. And this truth was revealed to her spirit. God spoke the Word, she read the Word, it spoke to her spirit, and then she began speaking it out. I'd love for her to come up and do that sometime. No pressure. She began to proclaim out loud the Word of God over Phoebe, herself, and me. And it was nonstop. And how did I respond? Oh, I fell on my face and I repented. No. I thought, oh man, I'm the head of the home. That was my first response. And I should be doing this thing. I should be leading this out over my home. And here Paula is. And so I listened, and it was 20 minutes of nonstop worship, clearly nonstop. And one thing that stood out for me as she prayed out loud was she prayed, God, remind Ken that the Word dwells in him. Reveal the Word that is hidden in his heart. Remind him of his sonship and bless his leadership. So I dropped Paula and Phoebe off. That didn't hit me till later. I dropped Paula and Phoebe off and began to make my way to church. So it's about a 30-minute drive now to church. And all of a sudden, I am worshiping in the car. I cannot explain it. And I like to listen to CBC, so I put on CBC and I was ready to go. And I began worshiping in the car. Not with music, but with proclaiming God's word and truth over my life. Because the word and the truth is in me. Because Jesus lives in me and I've read the word. So there's some word in me. I began proclaiming God's word over my family, over Paula and Phoebe. I began proclaiming God's word over house group and the people in my house group. And Trinity Baptist, yeah, I prayed for you guys. The Holy Spirit would reveal his truth to you. I prayed for people I know who are going through very tough situations in life. And I confessed my sin of unbelief. And I humbled by God's grace and mercy, I was doing this because God's Spirit touched my spirit and revealed truth to me and brought to life the word that is living in me. And I worshiped him in spirit and in truth. And that's what that is. It's not waiting to Sunday and coming to worship in the church. It's everyday. Everyday interaction with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Period. It's not how we sing worship. It's not dancing. It's not raising our hands. It's not doing any of that thing. It's an inner work of the Holy Spirit moving with the Word of God in our life, revealing God's truth to us in that place. Interactive, everyday interactive, where God speaks and we respond. And when we get together corporately, what is our corporate expression of this? Is to edify and build each other up in the most holy of faith. Maria, thank you for building us up. Maria builds us up every week with proclaiming truth of who God is. Every week. When you weren't here, something was missing. That's our corporate worship of spirit and truth. God's word lives in Maria. The spirit interacts with her spirit. She can't help but proclaim it. She's brave. Like little Jake coming up on stage, brave. Because he knows the security of his Father. We're called into that corporately together, interacting, edifying each other, proclaiming who God is, because he's hit something in us through the Holy Spirit and the interaction with his word. Paula did this with me, edifying and building me up. In turn, I set my gaze on the Lord, and I could worship in spirit and truth because God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, had touched something in my life that morning. And I was changed in that moment. I was changed in that interaction with the Spirit and the Word of God. So we can get consumed with how to do worship, you know, the different styles of worship, and you know, oh man, you come on Sunday and you go, well, that's the worship leader. I'm not going to interact because it's not my favorite worship. Well, it's not about that, actually. It's about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit interacting in our spirit that brings life, brings edification. And out of this place, this interaction with God in worship, spirit, and truth, we may do various things of expression. One of these is confession. We can confess. It could compel us to confess corporately. We could confess to our neighbor. We could confess to somebody our sin. And we are healed in that place. We're healed in that place. Shame lifts off and God's Spirit speaks truth to us and tells us that we are forgiven. And this could be praise and proclamation, like Maria proclaims the word of God, proclaiming the good work of Jesus on the cross, extending grace and mercy to us, revealing the love of the Father to an unworthy people. We are much like the Samaritan woman. And this could be dance, flagging. I think of that expression here, abandoning fear. What is it about abandoning fear to get out of our seat, to do something that we feel growing inside of us? There's sometimes, I remember when I just began coming to Trinity, and I really felt compelled to dance that morning. I was like, nobody else is dancing. I'm not going to dance. And Jake came up to me and said, I just want to confess to you, brother, that I was disobedient to the Lord. And I was like, how are you disobedient to the Lord? He said, I was supposed to dance this morning, and I didn't. And then I confessed to him, man, I didn't dance either. I confess. But he was willing to confess that to the Lord. And to another person, is even more meaningful. And we sat and prayed for each other. And we was abandoning fear in this place. We embrace love in this place. And that takes our eyes off of the dance, really. If we're taking our eyes off of the dance and we're focusing on love, which is deep and long and wide and high, and how holy God is, then it gives meaning to our dance. And it isn't about us dancing. It's an expression of worship. This could be quiet reflection, sitting in awe and wonder of a most holy God. So can you see it's not about the right way? It's not about the right place to worship. Because we as a church can fight about that all we want. Styles of worship. The church has been doing that for years. Decades, really, fighting about the right way or the wrong way of worship. Churches have divided because of that. But the God, the Father, our God, the Father, he is searching. It says that in the scripture. He is searching for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's an interactive worship. Interactive. This morning, can you maybe close your eyes right now? Because this morning, the Holy Spirit may have been speaking to you, and you may want to respond. You may want to respond. He may have been speaking to you and interacting with your spirit for days already, for weeks, for months, speaking his truth to you and interacting with your spirit. And you may want to respond. That could be quietly at your seat, or that could be coming up to the front to receive prayer ministry. People can come alongside you and worship spirit and truth over you. This could be confession. You want to confess somebody to somebody. It could be that it's a surrender of your life, handing things over to the Lord, to Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, who died and rose again. It could be that. You could be feeling disappointed this morning. Disappointed that maybe you've missed the mark, maybe that you haven't had it all together, that you should be at a different place already. Or maybe you just don't believe. But something's stirring in you to want to believe. And maybe this morning you want a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit that comes in power. That reveals the word hidden in your heart and speaks to you about who the Father is and who you are to Him. It could be that you want more of the Holy Spirit touching your spirit, bearing witness to the fact that you are a child of God. Let's stand together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that you created all things and you are in all things. I thank you that you created all things to give glory to you. Everything is created to give glory to you. So I thank you for each person here that they're created to give glory to you, God. And Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would fall on us afresh this morning, and you would enliven the Word of God in us that has been implanted in our hearts. There is no person here that is a mistake to you. There is nothing so big that you cannot touch this morning. We declare that you are bigger than anything in this room. You are more powerful than anything that we're going through. So we ask that you would come and minister to us this morning. God, you are searching to speak to our hearts this morning. And would you do that this morning? By the power of your Holy Spirit. Can I get those who can pray up front? If you want to receive prayer ministry, I want to leave this open to the Lord to receive ministry. If you don't feel compelled to receive ministry, I'd like to invite you to go downstairs. There is coffee on. You can communicate with each other, fellowship with one another, get to know somebody downstairs. It's a great place to go to fellowship. So if you could go there quietly as we minister up here, but feel free. If the Lord is moving, you feel that moving of the Holy Spirit, we'd love to pray for you this morning.